Suits me, boss.
He realized she was tired. Travel, jet lag, unfamiliar roads, driving stress. I'm sorry. We overdid it. I should have planned better.
No, this works. We're right on the spot for the morning. But how much farther?
4 miles to the pub now, and then 5 more to Bishop's Pargeter tomorrow.
What time is it?
He smiled. 10:47.
So you can do it in multiple time zones.
There's a clock on the dashboard. I can see it from here. I'm practically sitting in your lap. 8 minutes later, they saw a glow in the distance that turned out to be the pub's spotlit sign. It was swinging in a gentle night breeze on a high gallows. The Bishop's Arms. There was a black-topped parking lot with 5 cars in it, and then a row of lit windows. The windows looked warm and inviting. Beyond the dark outline of the building, there was absolutely nothing at all, just endless flatness under a vast night sky.
Maybe it was a coaching inn, Pauling said.
Can't have been. It's not on the way to anywhere. It was for farm laborers. She turned in at the entrance of the parking lot and slotted the tiny car between a dirty Land Rover and a battered sedan of indeterminate make and age. Turned the motor off and dropped her hands off the wheel with a sigh. Silence rolled in, and with it came the smell of moist earth. The night air was cold, a little damp. Reacher carried Pauling's bag to the pub's door. There was a foyer inside, with a sway-backed staircase on the right, and a low-beamed ceiling and a patterned carpet and about 10,000 brass ornaments. Dead ahead was a hotel reception counter made from dark old wood, varnished to an amazing shine. It was unattended. To the left was a doorway marked Saloon Bar. It led to a room that seemed to be empty. To the right, beyond the stairs, was a doorway marked Public Bar. Through it, Reacher could see a bartender at work and the backs of 4 drinkers hunched on stools. In the far corner, he could see the back of a man sitting alone at a table. All 5 customers were drinking from pint pots of ale. Reacher stepped up to the empty reception counter and dinged the bell. A long moment later, the bartender came in through a door behind the counter. He was about 60, large and florid. Tired. He was wiping his hands on a towel.
We need a room, Reacher said to him.
Tonight?
Yes, tonight.
It'll cost you £40, but that's with breakfast included.
Sounds like a bargain.
Which room would you like?
Which would you recommend?
You want one with a bath?
Pauling said,
Yes, a bath. That would be nice.
Okay, then. That's what you can have.
She gave him 4 10-pound notes, and he gave her a brass key on a tasseled fob. Then he handed Reacher a ballpoint pen and squared a register in front of him. Reacher wrote J. and L. Bayswater on the name line. Then he checked the box for place of business rather than place of residence and wrote Yankee Stadium street address on the next line. East 161st Street, Bronx, New York, USA. He wished that was his place of business. He always had. In a space labeled make a vehicle, he scrawled Rolls-Royce. He guessed registration number meant license plate, and he wrote R34CHR. Then he asked the bartender, Can we get a meal?
You're a little too late for a meal, I'm afraid. But you could have sandwiches if you like.
That would be fine.
You're Americans, aren't you? We get a lot of them here. They come to see the old airfields, where they were stationed.
Before my time. The bartender nodded sagely and said,
Well, go on in, have a drink. Your sandwiches will be ready soon.
Reacher left Pauling's bag at the foot of the stairs and stepped in through the door to the public bar. 5 heads turned. The 4 guys at the bar looked like farmers. Red, weathered faces, thick hands, blank, uninterested expressions. The guy alone at the table in the corner was Taylor. Chapter 60. Like the good soldier he was, Taylor kept his eyes on Reacher long enough to assess the threat level. Pauling's arrival behind Reacher's shoulder seemed to reassure him. A well-dressed man, a refined woman, a couple, tourists. He looked away, turned back to his beer. Beginning to end, he had stared only a fraction of a second longer than any man would in a barroom situation, and actually shorter than the farmers. They were slow and ponderous and full of the kind of entitlement a regular patron shows to a stranger. Reacher led Pauling to a table on the other side of the room from Taylor and sat with his back to the wall and watched the farmers turn back to the bar. They did it one by one, slowly. Then the last one picked up his glass again, and the atmosphere in the room settled back to what it had been before. A moment later, the bartender reappeared. He picked up a towel and started wiping glasses. Reacher said, "We should act normally. We should buy a drink."
"I guess I'll try the local beer. You know, when in Rome."
So Reacher got up again and stepped over to the bar and tried to think back 10 years to when he had last been in a similar situation. It was important to get the dialect right. He leaned between two of the farmers and put his knuckles on the bar and said, "A pint of best, please, and a half for the lady." It was important to get the manners right, too. So he turned left and right to the four farmers and added, "And will you gentlemen join us?" Then he glanced at the bartender and said, "And can I get yours?" Then the whole dynamic in the room funneled toward Taylor as the only patron as yet uninvited. Taylor turned and looked up from his table as if compelled to, and Reacher mimed a drinking action and called, "What can I get you?" Taylor looked back at him and said, "Thanks, but I've got to go." A flat British accent, a little like Gregory's, calculation in his eyes, but nothing in his face, no suspicion, maybe a little awkwardness, maybe even a hint of dour amiability, a guileless half-smile, a flash of the bad teeth. Then he drained his glass and set it back on the table and got up and headed for the door. "Good night," he said as he passed by. The bartender pulled 6½ pints of best bitter and lined them up like sentries. Reacher paid for them and pushed them around a little as a gesture toward distribution. Then he picked his own up and said, "Cheers," and took a sip. He carried Pauling's half-sized glass over to her, and the four farmers and the bartender all turned toward their table and toasted them. Reacher thought, instant social acceptance for less than $30, cheap at twice the price. But he said, "I hope I didn't offend that other fellow somehow."
"Oh, don't know him," one of the farmers said. "Never saw him before."
"He's at Grange Farm," another farmer said. "Must be, because he was in Grange Farm's Land Rover. I saw him drive up in it."
"Is he a farmer?" Reacher asked.
"Don't look like one," the first farmer said. "I never saw him before."